Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And we're going to go to Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me, and I trust that you'll join in with, as we read the Word of God. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. We missed 15. You know, somehow they skipped a verse. That's okay. It'll work. Because they forgot 15, but that's okay. It's cool. All right. Because I wanted you to get this verse number 2, but it didn't work that way. Okay, here we go. Speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, as the Lord says, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the son of the priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, the Lord says, and the work I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, if as a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth and the sea and dry land.
And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to desire of all nations. And I will fill the temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts.
The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9 together, here we go. The glory... Come on, shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, that's a prophetic word over us today. The glory of this latter house, we're talking about the church of God, will be greater than the former of than any we've ever known before. And Lord, I pray that faith will be installed in your people today as never before. That those that have been wondering about what's going on in the world and all the shaking that's been going on, that Lord, you have not left us, abandoned us, but you said, I am with you always. And I pray through the prophetic word of preaching today that people will be encouraged, they'll be strengthened, they'll be built up, they'll be ready to go to war as these last days are upon us, that we'll do all the things your word says we will do. Lord, we believe you, we trust you, and we thank you. In the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said,
amen.
Come on, turn to somebody and tell them this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise this morning. And you can be seated. Glory to God. You know, it's interesting with all the various things happening around the world that we could probably get with headlines and news feeds and all that, those kind of things coming our way. We can conclude the world is on a downward spiral and there's little hope for the future, especially for the church. That's what you would get. Various things happening in Congress and all the type thing. I'm not here to be negative on one side or the other. But that's the natural inclination we would have. Some of us would believe,
as Elijah did. We talked about him a few weeks ago. I'm the only one left. Nobody else is doing right but me. I got news for you. God is at work right now. Just because you don't see it here doesn't mean God is absent everywhere. He's doing a great work around the earth. Because of the access of news of moments notice, we can easily conclude that tragedy, addiction, poverty, and any other negative thing would cause us to spiral into the belief that we are helpless victims with no hope or future. There's an epidemic crisis with all types of drug culture here. And they've told us that, and some of us said, oh no, what are we going to do? And this is taking over everyone. That's not true. God is still able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. And I want to change the whole culture in here today, because God is going to commission you as a committee of one to go out and make a difference. So you say, well, get the whole army together. No, you're an army all by yourself. And you need to go out in the world and tell this thing, tell the story of what he's done for you. That'll turn the tide around. Here are my three statements I'll make today. First of all, do you realize that every blessing that comes from the Lord is a product of your obedience to his command? You want to get blessed? Obey. Don't delay, obey. I'm going to do that tomorrow. No, today. That the day that you hear my voice, the Bible says this, harden not your heart. God will speak things to you today that he will never speak to you ever again. Because it'll be too late tomorrow. So don't forget that this is a day of salvation that God is working in our lives. Number two, it kind of goes along with this, is can you believe that the various shakings, physically, economically, and naturally, will result in the revelation of God's will in the church? I mean, that's the discouragement, you know, it's all falling apart. No, it's not. Remember that song, come on, baby, a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a reason behind it. Because sometimes God has to shake it up to wake you up. Because you've been lulled to sleep by the comforts and the ease that are in this particular culture. God's got to shake it up a little bit. Well, number three, can you believe that in spite of all the evil and trouble in the world, that the church will come forth with glory and power? Come on. I am not discouraged. I am not downtrodden. I'm not so interested in what the enemy is doing. I'm interested in what God is going to do. So you can get yourself, oh, he's doing this, they're doing that, they're taking it this way. Oh, hush. And listen to me. We must cultivate our thirst for the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Listen, that's our first scripture today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? No, you just want things to get better. See, righteousness and things getting better are not the same thing. Sometimes righteousness will cost you something. It'll cost you a few dinners. God has been calling us to fast and to pray. And we say, well, you know, I don't know. It's really not the right time. I'll wait till after the holidays. What if God told you to fast through Thanksgiving? Some of you say, you're rebuking the devil, casting out demons? Oh, yes, you would. Don't tell me what you wouldn't do. If God said, I want you all to fast. Forget about the turkey. Forget about the ham. Come into my house and seek my face. You say, well, that's the devil just trying to just ruin our family. Work with me, people. And some of you are scared to death. That's what I'm about to say. I know you're scared. Just wait. The thirst of Jesus' church should be for righteousness that will point to him. That makes sense. Our culture is this thirst for knowledge that's often connected to our phone. You have an argument with a friend, you say, let me Google it. Isn't that how it works? And you get it all settled thing because you Google tell you everything except how to repent. For your arrogant, righteous, self-righteous self. You know, I've been talking about cell phones. It's really cool. I love it when God does things like this. Because yesterday I was at a rehearsal in a particular place, and I left my cell phone there. And of course, you know, I went back there to get it, and one of the people in our church had picked it up for me. And my tendency was, I got to have my cell phone. God said, no, you don't. You ain't going to die if you don't have your cell phone. I did not get my cell phone back till this morning, and you know what? I am alive in Jesus' name. But some of the person who had it actually was over in Vancouver. He said, you can make it over there. I said, no. God said, let it go. I'm all you need. If anybody needs to get a hold of you, they'll get a hold of me, and I'll tell them where you're at. You are not that important. Oh, come on. Somebody's going to get saved today. Because all the stuff you think you've got to have, the only person you need is Jesus. It starts from him. Well, the knowledge that we seek to is similar to what Adam sought in the Garden of Eden for a placement for God. You know what it was? It was a quest of seeking the knowledge of good and evil. That's what he exchanged. Little bite from a fruit, whatever it was. Yeah, I remember I gave you, revealed to some of you spiritual folks, what the actual fruit was in the garden. You know what it was? Pomegranate. See, God makes it hard for you to sin. But if you're determined, if you're going to go there, peel that thing and suck on them seeds and finally get yourself a little bit of something. Am I right about it? The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. See, I don't have no juicy up. No, honey, it was pomegranate seeds. And some of you are still spitting them out today, but that's all right. I'm going to help you with this. The Lord will satisfy you with the thirst for knowledge. But knowledge is not wisdom. You know what I'm saying? Well, we have become addicted to the desire for knowledge because of FOMO, fear of missing out, F-O-M-O, FOMO. If you have a person in your life that's, you know, that's always on their phone, tell them you got FOMO, because you're afraid of missing out. But I'll tell you what, the things that we will miss the most is having a real righteous connection with Jesus. That's really what you need. It's really what I need. And I want to encourage you into that. Here's some things that will help us. We have a greater fear of losing our phone than we do of losing our keys. You know right? Well, I can give me another second on my phone. It's got all, you know, and I realized how dependent, you know, I had everybody's name and phone number and stuff was in that phone. And without it, and you know, we just press a button. We don't dial up numbers anymore. You press a button and it dials for you. So your mind is blank. Come on, testify with me. You don't look up there and you go, pew! Oh, Jesus. But you know, phones are forming us instead of informing us. They're conditioning us. I want to help you today and help us today to have a thirst more for Jesus than we do for technology. And believe me, he wins ultimately. Well, every blessing that the Lord wants to give us is connected with obedience. I made that statement. And let me tell you why. The people that are connected to you will follow your example. Isn't that kind of scary? He said, don't follow me, just follow Jesus. No. Paul got it right. Follow me as I follow Christ. Is that in the Word of God? You should never be embarrassed of these people following after you. If you're really connected to Jesus, if you're hungering thirst after righteousness, you should be a righteous example of who Jesus is. That's right. Now, in a few weeks, I'm going to preach on holiness, and this will probably scare most of the folks out of here. I'm not holy. I'm just struggling with my life.
You know, God knows holiness and perfection are not the same thing. And see, you got yourself, well, in order for me to be holy, I got to have all. No. Holiness is the pursuit of God and allowing Him to take control of every part of fiber of your being. And you know what? If He wouldn't command you to be holy, if it wasn't possible to be that. God's not going to ask you to be something that you can't be. But our holiness is in Him. It's in Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. Well, here we go. As believers, to impact every person we come in contact with, we must minister to their thirst of the Spirit with things that really matter. Oftentimes, I've had people come to me and say, will you pray for me for this or that, whatever it happens to be? And really, it's about the things that really matter. There's a lot of things we just get on peripheral stuff that doesn't matter. Pray that I get a new job. Pray that God changes my attitude. Really? I think that's your responsibility. But if you tell me, pray that I'll be more like Jesus and submit to His will, I'm on your side. Because it will cure. It'll take care of the problem. Pray that God will reveal to us all the things that are hindering us from being like Jesus. Oh, hey, I'm dialed into that. Because I've got issues in my own life. But if it'll draw me closer to Jesus, I want everything that Jesus has to offer. And so should you. Well, how about this? The knowledge of the world often seeks is a drug of being right about something without the deepest truth or of wisdom to live a life that will bring glory to God. I want to talk to you just for a moment about wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. That's what it is. But there's a lot of things that you folks kind of know, but you don't really realize what to do with it. And oftentimes, the culture that I was raised in, as far as, you know, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and we had all the things about, you know, thou shalt not and wish you could. Don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. That was our motto. Jesus. I'm not here to take you apart. I'm here to put you into the enlightenment of who God is in the thirst for righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. I believe there are people in this house today that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Yes. Not self-righteousness. Yes. In the person of Jesus. And when we finish today, I believe that's going to be accomplished. Well, we must be careful not to continue in the mistake of Adam by trading life for knowledge. Knowledge brought guilt and shame. Isn't that how it works? Had a little bite from their pomegranate, spit out the seeds. And, ooh, Lord, I am naked. Lord, have mercy. Let me find myself something. How'd that work for you? Some of the things you seek after will only cause you more stress, more turmoil, more guilt, more shame. But when you seek after Jesus, He's already taken care of the guilt and the shame on the cross and took care of it forever. And I believe that what He's bringing us into a greater knowledge of Himself. Well, the life of Jesus brought us free, and we must constantly ask ourselves the question, are you becoming the person that Jesus wants you to become, free from sin and death? Question for all of us. Are you, am I, becoming the person that Jesus wants me to be? And the question is, if we're not, why not? What's the hindrance? What's the holdout? Not for the sake of trying to demonize or throw guilt on anyone, but I think sometimes our focus is not on the right things. Well, everything we have is a result of God's favor following our obedience. Back to Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. Look at what it says here. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the spirit of Jehozadak, I said it right. The high priest, and the spirit of all of the remnant of the people, and they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Are you working on this house? Really? Are you allowing God to work on this house? Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you.
It's nice to say, oh, the temple of the Lord and this great edifice and building. No, no, no. This is the house. This is where Jesus lives. And some of you is pretty raggedy. Kind of toe up from the floor up. Thank you. I love it. Some of you folks preach a sermon for me. Bless your hearts. But the Bible says we are being built up as a spiritual house. 1 Peter 4, verse 5. This is great. Okay. Coming to him as a living stone. Anybody alive in here? You're a living stone in the building of God. And it says this, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Do not fret over the rejection you receive in the world. It's going to happen. The more you become like Jesus, they're not going to like you. People that were your friends for years said, we can't hang. No, 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 no. It's not about you. It's because of Jesus in your life. Let it be because of that now. Some of y'all are just card-carrying crazy, and they need to let go of you, but that's another story. But chosen by God, precious, you also, as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Every time we come in this house, we have an opportunity to offer up praises to God. This house is filled with praises unto the Lord for all that he's done for us. And you know what? It's an attraction to people who come in who do not know God. They're thinking, what are they all excited about? Hallelujah, you're worthy. Hallelujah, we pray. I said, what's all that about? Because it's the truth of what we're singing about and the reality of who Jesus is. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever abandon that for what the world says. So we must have chosen by the Lord, though we may be rejected by men. Well, we are living stones of power to attract people by the example of faithfulness and loyalty. But here's one. We have been chosen to be a part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today. He's doing a mighty work. Oh, yes, he is. I'll rehearse a few things in just a few moments, but what about this? We must move away from the Western form of life to the kingdom way of living, which means the stories that come from our churches should create a longing for heaven as our home. Similarly, meaning this, our commitment to Scripture and the life of Jesus should point people toward the things that are eternal. I want to give us some practical things to do. The next time someone asks you for some advice as far as it's concerned, point them to the Lord and to the Bible, not to Dr. Phil. You know, I was walking Dr. Phil the other day, and there's somebody on there that had a problem just like this, and this is what he said. Will you stop it? The Word of God has trumped Dr. Phil a long time ago. If you really want to become wise, read Proverbs. It'll take care of all your problems. Matter of fact, I've been giving out this instruction for a long time, so get ready. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. And you know, and God made it easy for us. There are 31 Proverbs. There are 31 days of the month. Whatever day it is of the month, go to that particular proverb and read it. Read all the way, do it this month, do it next month, do it for a whole year, and I guarantee it will change the way you think. Yes, it will. I've been doing this for years, and I'm saying, I don't remember reading that. Because mine's a little dull at times. But you know, it comes at the right time. It will change the way you live. Write that down. Proverb a day keeps the devil away. That will change you into righteousness. That's righteous behavior. Don't say I didn't learn nothing today. I told you what to do. Don't leave here crazy and stupid. Come on. Work with me. One a day will change the way you live. I'm giving the devil a black eye today. I'm ready. Recently, take time to reflect upon the spiritual events and revivals that have pointed to the way of salvation. Haggai 2, verse 3. This is great. He says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? Roberta Allen, are you in this building somewhere? Are you in the back where? There's Roberta. Stand up for a moment. Do you remember the days of revival back in Maranatha days on Friday nights when the building would be filled with young people? When we'd start service at 8 o'clock, we'd end at 12. We'd have all-night prayer meetings. We'd go out on the streets and people would get saved. Is that not true? Jerusha, you remember. We'd have choir practice on Saturday. We'd go choir practice for 2 or 3 hours, and we'd do a concert every Friday night. We did this for over a year. Do you know during that period of time, we sang in every high school in the city of Portland. We had a, no, there's more. We had a traveling choir of 97 young people that would travel from Portland to Seattle, do a concert in Seattle, and be back in time to go to school the next day. Don't tell me what God wasn't able to do. And if he's able to do it then, now we can transfer ourselves a lot better. That's back when, you know what I'm saying? And we were too poor to have a bus. We carpooled all the way over there. Is that not right? I'm telling you, but God was moving and he's going to do a greater work today. I want to remind you where we came from, but I want to let you know where we're going. God wants to do greater things today than he did then. And somebody said, how are you going to do that? I don't have to do anything. All we have to do is be obedient. And that was back, I need to tell you, in the 70s. That was over 40 years ago. But the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. I want to know if I got some people in here ready to see God do what he's going to do. Come on, work with me. So what does that mean? The enemy will want us to believe that everything is turning out in his favor. Persecution and apostasy are not the final determination of where the church is headed. Because there's a lot of people that have gone apostates from the church, they're trying to turn away and backslid and all that other type of thing. If you're like, there's nobody really serving God. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. What about this? There are those who remain among us who testify of the things that they've experienced from days gone by. Well, the enemy would want you to believe that what we have experienced in America concerning the church will never take place again. They'll tell you, days of, you know, kids coming to church and concerts and going to these different, they're not going to do that anymore. That's done. I believe my Bible says greater. Greater than then. Well, how could it possibly be greater? Only if we believe what God says. Because see, if you try to do it in your own flesh, you say, well, and we'll try to figure out, how are we going to do this? And people just don't give religious exemptions anymore. And how are we going to give people? That's not your job. Your job is to be obedient to Jesus. Your job is to be obedient to what God is telling you to do. And great things will happen. There are countries around the world where they have revivals that have been going on 24/7 for years. There are places in America where they have 24-hour prayer meetings that go on all the time. And just because it's not happening in Portland does not mean it's not happening in America. I want to let you know, you have been blinded to the truth of what God is doing. God is doing great things. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. But what I'm saying, I want to see it here. I want to see it in Portland. I want to see God moving like he's moving all over the earth. And you know what? God is about to do it. But it's going to take people who believe the word of God, who are willing to make sacrifices, who are willing to pray, who are willing to fast to believe God for what we thought was impossible. But I want to tell you what the devil's doing. The enemy will want us to believe that what we've experienced, we're not going to experience again. And this is what he does. The devil will try to silence you with political correctness. Oh, here it comes. Get ready. I know all you folks are going, I'm going to get some letters that I don't really care. Because here's the words that have replaced revival. It's words like inclusiveness. Uh-huh. Diversity. Uh-huh. And equal rights. I'm a black man, in case you didn't notice that. But do you realize when New Song started as a church, it was 93%
Caucasian and 7% black. How many of you were back in those days? You remember those days? There's people there that will testify that's the way it was. God had the answer to inclusive a long time ago. I was trying to get black folks in the church. See, you guys have got it messed up in your head. God will turn the tables on the things. He's like, well, that'll never happen. God is going to do things that will blow your mind. I remember I go to a pastor's meeting, and people don't realize how racist they are. They don't realize it. And they say, I go to the meeting, the pastor knew something. Excuse me, but could you tell me, do you have any white people in your church? But you know what my response was? Pray for us. We have an affirmative action program. We're trying to get black folks in our church. Oh, yes, I did. I will get your little racist body up here and I'll work you over. Because God doesn't save skins, He saves souls. Doesn't matter what color you are, everybody needs Jesus. Oh, come on, work with me, folks. Get over your inclusive, everybody's got to feel good about themselves. There are no losers. No child left behind. Those are wonderful theories. But I tell you, when you get a hold of Jesus, God, He levels the playing field. Oh, yes, He does. People thought you'd never sit next to us, sitting right next to you. Oh, I could never go to church where there's drug addicts there. Honey, there's one sitting next to you right now. I can never go there where, you know, transsexual or bisexual people, you know, there's some in the house right now. But you know, they've been washed, they've been redeemed, they've been sanctified, they've been saved, they've been delivered. Will you take the labels off of people and let God be God? You know, I'm gonna fool around and get fired up in a minute. Because I came to preach today the fact that the glory of this latter house is going to be better than anything you've ever seen in your life. But I got to get the stuff out of us so God can be who He wants to be inside of us. Well, the church must change its method without changing its message. Some of you are just married to the way, well, this is the way we've always done it. Yes. Really? Yes. Does God care about that? Jesus went to a party one day. He did. They was drinking. It was a marriage feast. And they said, we ran out of wine. And his mama says, well, they ran out of wine. And he says, what is that to me? And the Holy Spirit shows up and says, make some wine. Better than they've ever tasted before. Yes. Come on now. God doesn't work with junk. Everything He does is good. Whew. Oh, I'm feeling the anointing now. I don't know when I'm gonna quit, but that's okay. But but work this out. The miracle that Jesus performed was contingent on the obedience of servants. Bring me some water pots. Fill them to the brim with water. Now, draw out from this water pot and take it to the head of the feast. Now, some of you are over there saying, I'm not going to embarrass myself. These folks need wine and there ain't number water in here. Peace out. I'm gone. I'm not gonna look like a fool. We serve a God who's able to take something that was what you thought it was water, and in the transformation of your obedience, it becomes what's necessary. The only thing you've got to do is obey. What he tells you, he says, now draw it out and take it over to the head of the feast. So he says, I don't want to go, I don't want to be embarrassed. That's the reason what your problem is. You're so worried about being embarrassed. You're so worried about you. You're not liable to him submitting to his ways. And then the report was, usually at a wedding feast, they save the rot gut wine for last. They serve the good stuff. And serve you junk when you don't know the difference. It's in the Bible. It just didn't say it quite like that. But you save the best for the last. I want to tell you, we are part of the best that God has saved for the last. And God is about to do something now like the world has never seen before. Somebody say amen, because it's true. Glory to God. We do not have to dwell in the glory of the former church, but be willing to move forward to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something. The definition of the world's definition of community and God's definition of community are two different things. We just want to be a part of the community. I'm like my community of people that I hang around with. They're all handpicked. It's staged. That's right. We found a common interest, and so these are my community folks. They're all people that you like or agree with the way you think. But I want to tell you, God's going to take a community of folks that don't look like each other, don't have different, but he can put them all together, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and everybody is able to function in their gifting because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, there's a bunch of folks there that these are Greeks and these are Greeks and this type of thing. How is it they're all filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will change your DNA. He will change your preferences. He'll change your ideals. He'll change the things you think are unchangeable about yourself. He will operate in you. Something that's really powerful. I'm doing my best. I'm looking at the clock and I'm praying that Jesus will help me. The Lord is with us and his Spirit remains among us, so we need not fear. Haggai 2, verse 5. According to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my Spirit remains among you. Do not fear. How many of you came out of Egypt? Somebody said, what's he talking about? I mean, you came out of the world. Jesus saved you. How about that? Does that help? Well, somebody said, I can agree with that. Okay. Boy, I had to define that for some folks. Some folks are still wandering in the wilderness. I don't know. Let me help you with this. We should refrain from getting our inspiration from the news, the internet, and each other. Amen. God's got something he wants to speak directly into your spirit. And I don't say there's anything wrong with watching the news, but would you, if that's the only thing that inspires you, you got a problem. What about this? The Spirit of the Lord remains in control in spite of the things that we hear or see. And fear is a spirit that is used by the enemy that will cause believers to doubt the word of the Lord and the promises of God. Got to go on to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Our fear has been misplaced and must be realigned with the truth. Here's what Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. You hear what that says? That fear is reverence. But anyway, fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Hell is real. Yes. Don't nobody preach about hell no more. Hell's taking a vacation. Yeah, there are people that have issues and God knows they're struggling and so he wouldn't send them to hell. No, God don't send anybody to hell. He really doesn't. People choose to go. What? Oh yeah, hell's a choice. I set before you life and death. This is what the Lord says. I set before you blessings and cursings. And this is what he does. He gives you the answer. I would that you would choose life. Do not play stupid with me. God is giving you the answer. Choose life today. Pretty simple. Our fear of death, by virtue of those who can take our life, is intimidation that is not based upon truth. Intimidation means a person just hassles you and harasses you, and you make bad decisions because of that. It kind of forces you into doing something that you wouldn't normally do. But what about this? Fear is false evidence appearing real, in case you need to know that. But we must expose the root cause of fear to allow the Holy Spirit to remove it. Last little thing I need to say, and I need to finish this today, so just give me just a couple extra minutes. That's all I need. The glory of the temple of the Lord today will be the greatest ever. Haggai 2, verse 9. This is great. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. In this place, God is going to give you peace like you have never understood before. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is the word of the Lord. If you're troubled and having all types of things in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to give you peace like you've never had it before. When we lose the power of the supernatural, we lose the power of God. He said, what do you mean by that? The supernatural is able to bypass or to override all the fears that you've had of things that may come true that will take you out. But the Holy Spirit, if we lose the power of the supernatural, you might as well cash it in now. Because the supernatural was demonstrated to us when Jesus conquered death. Amen. Only ones who ever do it. So that's the only fear you have is death. And you don't fear death because Jesus, he says, I give you life and life forevermore. So that pretty much takes care of that one. Well, the promise of the Lord for these days to come, I just need to take you real quickly over to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 5. This is going to be the revival piece of the message. I hope you'll enjoy this. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. Next verse. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Okay, stop for a moment. Anybody feel dry today? Be honest. Dry. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed, because you're going to be wet when we're done, okay? Feel a little dry. Okay, here we go. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, oh Lord, you know. Well, I want to prophesy to you today, your bones can live again. You can be revived. You can be refreshed. You can be renewed. You can be restored. You can be all of these things if you will just trust in what God is about to do. Because he says, oh Lord, you know. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, into you, and you shall live. God's breath is coming back into you. You're going to live like you've never lived before. You're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit that has been absent for a long period of time. Why? Because God says, this is your day. This is your time. But Lord, today's your day. Don't leave here dry. Leave here filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things that the devil's kicked you down, he's pressed you down, but God's going to lift you up and restore you better than you've ever been before. Well, what you believe about Jesus will determine the glory of his power manifest in your life. What do you believe about Jesus? What is he able to do? I believe it's exceedingly above what you can ask, think, or even imagine. You don't have an imagination big enough for what God's about to do in your life. But you need to trust him with it. Our response to the question, the Lord, regarding dryness, is based upon our faith in Jesus' work in our lives. Last little two bits of scripture, Isaiah 37, verses 7 through 10. The words that we prophesy over dry bones in our life will release the glory of the Lord. Here we go. So I prophesied to, as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I hear something in the spirit today. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. I don't want you to leave here half-baked. I don't want you to leave here half-fixed. Just laying there as you got flesh on your bones, but you ain't got no breath in you, ain't gonna do you no good. I'm about to speak life into you that will change you from, you came in here dry, you'll leave here as a living organism of the power of the Spirit of God. So, also he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy the Son of Man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds and breathe on these slain that they may live. Some of you have been slain by the enemy and you thought you were down for the count, but God says, oh, it's not true. I'm gonna bring you back from death to life today. So what does that mean? So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You want that? Stand up right now. You want to stand up? You want that? Stand up. You want that? Stand up. You want that? Stand up. The rest of you sit down if you want to, but I'll tell you what, there's some people here that want the power of God in their life. Hallelujah. Here's the word of the Lord. Four things I want to tell you. Number one, live again. Do you hear what I say? Live again. Don't be afraid to live the life that God wants you to live. Live again. Put, shake off the darkness. Shake off all the hassles of the devil and say, I'm going to live again. God says, I can live again. God says, I can live again. Come on, put your hands up and say, I can live again. I can live again. I can live again. Couple more things. I can love again. Get rid of all that bitterness. All that hatred, all the stuff you said, people did this to me, they did that to me. Get over it. Choose to love again. Let all that trash out of your life. You know, they're going to treat me like little people. I'm just going to keep up to myself. You keep to yourself and you dry up and blow away. Number three, believe again. Believe again. Believe again. Not in me, but in him. Yes. The devil tried to snatch away your belief, says, you know, nobody really is able to handle the situation. You're just like everybody else, kind of falling off. But believe again that God, he who has started a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Believe again. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on up, worship team. I'm going to be the pianist today too, so, because they're doing something else, okay? And well, number four, show forth his glory with power and strength. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the piano in a minute. Just kind of, we're going to sing How Great Is Our God. And those of you that need to be revived today and want to be reinstalled, I want you to come down to this altar today and let God work on you, because we're going to sing How Great Is Our God. You step out now. Don't wait for somebody else to. You can start stepping out now, because we're going to, oh, there's just Pastor Paul's here. Glory to God. Now I can get really crazy. Hallelujah. Come on. Are you ready for a change in your life? Step out now in Jesus' name. Step out now in Jesus. Don't wait for somebody else. You come. You come. You come. You come. You come. You come. The splendor of the King clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. That's right. Today is your day. Come on in Jesus' name. Young people, I challenge you today to let Jesus do what he's going to do. The splendor of the King. Come on, sing it out. The splendor of the King. Here we go. Splendor of the King.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.